We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Pietrus and Dennis Butler here. He's the director of the Riley County Police Department. And this past week, the Manhattan City Commission passed its smoking and vaping ordinance on, I believe it was on second reading. And so this is going to go into policy here, going to make some changes here as far as where you can, especially with vaping, where you can do that here in the public.
Yeah, the city, my understanding is, had a smoking ordinance in place from, I think, about 2008, and then a few years ago passed a vaping ordinance, and they've combined the two now, so the conditions in both are the same, so there's no confusion among the public. In terms of our role of enforcement, it just makes it easier for us because we don't have two sets of standards to deal with or two sets of restrictions. I attended some of the hearings, and there was some debate over businesses, restaurants on patio, because originally the ordinance was going to restrict any smoking or vaping on patios, and that was removed. So the 20-foot distance remains in effect. Businesses that have separate areas outside will still allow that to happen. From an enforcement standpoint, I looked at our data for the last 6 years, and most of the the violations we cite related to smoking or to vaping involve underage users. Hardly any of it is for adult users. And typically, it comes about because somebody has made a complaint at a business, but most of the complaints, I'd say 75% of them, were from schools. Hmm. So it was school personnel that called us about tobacco and vaping violations. So I don't see why that would really change substantially, because the ordinances are the same, basically. They've just been combined now into one.
Okay. It just seems to me like this is kind of a hard thing to maybe enforce. I know there's going to be fines for first-time, second-time offenders, and so on. But is it just going to be, if somebody calls and complains, that you come and respond? You're not seeking out people making violations here.
That's typically how this works. When it comes to the resources that we have, sending out patrols to look for vaping and smoking violations is not a high priority for the use of our resources. But when someone calls and complains about it, we certainly respond to it as quickly as we can and investigate and cite. I know there's more instances that we never know about, because it's usually handled by the people involved or the people who are offended, and then it's over with. Sometimes those efforts are unsuccessful, and so then we get called and we get involved. So even though the number of citations are relatively low, it doesn't mean that it's because we don't care about it. It's just we have other things we think the public wants us to focus our efforts on. But when they call us, we'll respond and investigate.
All right. Well, you mentioned schools, and that got me thinking here. A couple weeks ago, or maybe it was a week ago, I don't remember now. My days run together, but we had that.
Mine too.
We had the hoax situation out at Lee Elementary, and that was a well-publicized news story here in our community and really statewide. When you have something like that, I know you have to respond to every situation, but how frustrating is it to have something like that develop?
It's very frustrating, because we value the resources provided to us by the community. And when we respond on something that is a complete fabrication, we have to respond as though it's actually happening until we can prove it's not. So the number of resources, the amount of hours dedicated to properly investigating and then determining it's a hoax is really hard to calculate, but it's thousands and thousands of dollars. People being called in from home and being paid double time instead of time and a half. It's bringing in the Kansas Highway Patrol. But I want to make something perfectly clear. Sometimes the public becomes frustrated when something like this happens, and they think, what are we doing about it? And I'll just cite the example of the drug roundup we had over the summer. That was a three-plus year investigation, and nobody knew what we were doing, because we didn't want to jeopardize the ability to do what we did in the end. We are investigating this crime. We have not forgotten about it, and we're going to continue investigating it until we can't follow up any more leads. So I want the public to know that we're we're upset on their behalf about what happened here. Over 100 children were kept home from Lee Elementary that day by concerned parents, even though we had absolutely no doubt it was a hoax. But in today's environment, today's world, a parent who takes those precautions can't be blamed for it, and we want to find the person responsible for this and hold them accountable.
Will we have, when an arrest is ultimately made here, will that be publicized here?
You bet.
Okay. Very good. Well, and, you know, that whole situation reminded me a lot of the situation that happened in Wichita, I believe a year ago, where there was, I forget what they call that, but the guy ended up getting killed.
Yeah, it's referred to commonly as a swatting mm-hmm. incident, and it was what I remember from media reports is it was a man from California who falsely called in some sort of a felony crime in progress at a home in Wichita. The police responded, and I don't know all the details, but the homeowner who had committed no crime was killed by responding police. Legislation was passed in Kansas after that to make that a felony crime to call in a false report like that. And so that statute is one of the statutes we're relying on as we investigate this.
Okay.
We're fortunate nobody was hurt, but it still occurred and it's a crime.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you touching on that here this morning. Want to go a little bit to a lighter topic here, and that is I've seen you've been growing a beard, and I know a lot of people have in RCPD, because it is No Shave November.
It is. No Shave November is an annual event the RCPD participates in where officers can grow beards in exchange for donating $100 to the Fraternal Order of Police for our Shop with a Cop program. Christmas with Kids is another way we refer to it, and it's for children in the community who may not be able to enjoy the kind of Christmas that maybe the rest of us got to when we were younger. So this money is used to take them shopping with a cop every year. And so if you see a police officer with a beard, that's why they have one. And although we make a donation personally to so we can grow a beard, you're more than welcome to make a donation to the officer for this or directly to the Fraternal Order of Police, and they will accept it as well. I actually got a donation from a county commissioner yesterday at their meeting. Commissioner Wells asked me about it, and I told him what it was about, and he handed me a nice, crisp $100 bill, which I promptly delivered to the FOP, and it will be used to help shop for an underprivileged kid at Christmas next month.
All right. Well, that's great news to hear. Glad to hear it.
Thanks for asking.
Have you had success growing beards in the past? It looks like you're doing a pretty good job.
This is my first one, believe it or not. So I didn't know what to expect. I'm glad it's coming in better than what I thought it would. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see if I decide to keep it or not. I'm not sure yet.
Who on the police force has one of the better beards, would you say? Putting you on the spot here.
Oh, I would say off the top of my head, Michael Dunn, Corporal Dunn. He was an Aggieville officer for many years. He's in another assignment now, but he's got a great beard that if I could grow one like that, I'd probably have one all the time.
Yeah. I'd struggle doing the beard. I do the goatee sometimes, but it's not always easy to get it to grow in full, and then it gets itchy.
Yeah, that's the thing that's driving me crazy every day. It makes me think, why do I want to keep this?
See, and you know, I've had the goatee for, a couple of years now, and I made it No Trim November. So as opposed to, you know, I'll shave around the goatee.
I like that. That's a good idea.
So, you know, I don't compromise anything.
No Trim November.
I remember the last time there was I'd started growing this thing, and then I shaved it all off. And my daughter says, now you just look stupid. I'm like going, so I look stupid for 56 years without any facial hair.
Unfortunately for me, my wife seems to like this. So
Does she?
You know what that means. It's going to be a battle to get rid of this.
So. Good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Good luck with that. But that's a neat deal. You know, in the Shop with the Cop thing, that's just that's one of the things I know, and I know that's not just common here in Riley County, but it's a neat project for anybody. And, you know, you talk about, you know, your community relations you know, by doing the barbecue stuff and doing those events. And Shop with a Cop is one of the great ones.
You know, our cops, they do tough jobs. They have tough jobs. And when they get to do something like this, it's fun for them. It's just like the when Big Boy came to town the other day and a little girl lost her stuffed animal. And We took a picture of it and put it on social media like it was a missing person. yesterday morning, I haven't checked today, we had 78,000 views of that post.
Oh, really?
And it really humanizes us and shows the public that we have a sense of humor and we're here to be part of the community and not to be feared or viewed differently than any other person. So Shop with a Cop helps do that.
Did we find the owner?
We did.
Awesome.
It was either later that day or the next day. We reunited the young lady with her little lost sheep, and they were new to the community. They hadn't lived here very long, and so they were very excited to get him back. And we posted a follow-up picture of that as well.
You know, I like good stories like that. Yeah. I know you do, and you don't get enough of them in your business.
I'm really fortunate. We have a great public information officer, Haley Rowland, and her. And just so you know, this posting the photo of the stuffed sheep was Captain Fink's idea, the patrol commander. He was out there when Big Boy stopped.
He has a heart.
And he saw that, and it was his idea to take a photo and put it out there on social media. I thought it was brilliant, and it was it went over very well.
Well, you know, we had a great fun earlier this week, you know, talking about the grill. And hopefully that goes well for you.
Yeah, I think we're on our way to making this project a reality. Thank you.
All right. Well, Director Butler, we certainly appreciate you coming in. And I know next month we have the holidays kind of messing things up a little bit. So you'll be in a little earlier in the month. I think December 13th I saw. So we'll see you a little sooner than usual.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
All right. Thank you.
You too.
That'll do it for In Focus today, Dave.
All right, Brandon. We've got Blueville's Horticulture Hints coming up next with Derek in the studio. Got a lot of things to talk about, getting ready for the holidays and landscaping and how to deal with leaves that are all over the place. Then it's Rush, Dan Patrick, the game from Lubbock. All on the way at K-Man. Have a great weekend.